In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Just last night, we read the life of St. Mary of Egypt, which, of course, is mostly about her, but not exclusively about her. I've read this life now many times, and I've heard it read many times. And there are things that in this life just really touch me every time I hear them. They're sort of parenthetical statements. They're sort of things that maybe are not considered the most important parts or the most important people, but they are truly touch the soul if you think about them in the right way. So I wanted to talk about the other people in the life of St. Mary of Egypt. When St. Mary was wanting to go to the Holy Land, she didn't want to go for any holy reason. She just wanted to go because she would be on a ship with more men and be able to have more pleasure. And it was just something interesting to her. So the way she booked her passage, as she said, was by mixing shamelessly with the crowd. And she said shameless things. And so one of the youths laughed and went away. He just laughed, thought it was funny. He was one of the people that was going to get on the ship. And that's always really been like a sort of an arrow in my heart. That young man had no idea the kind of sin that he was thinking about, the kind of coarse jesting that he was engaging in, the kind of terrible sin that he was about to engage in on the voyage. He was unaware, like most of us, unaware. He just laughed. Now we have a society where we laugh at coarse humor. Most entertainers have some form of sexual humor. Very few don't. And they're like, we're like the young man, huh? Where we kind of laugh at things that shouldn't be laughed at. We think about things that shouldn't be thought about. I don't know what happened to that young man. He's a nameless person in a story, but God knows his name. God knows everything about him. St. Mary probably remembered him by name many, many times in the desert after her repentance. Just a man who laughed and went away. And like that man, what about all those youths that she said she forced to give her pleasure on the boat? She seduced them over and over again and brought them deeper and deeper into the pit of depravity. Do you have anybody that you regret what you've done in your life? Maybe not like St. Mary of Egypt, but are there people that you regret the things you did in the past? Do you have trouble forgiving yourself? I go to prisons. I'm telling you, people have trouble forgiving themselves for stuff they did. But we're no different than people in prison. We also have trouble forgiving ourselves for the people we've harmed. Perhaps we've harmed people even to the point where they will lose their soul. It's possible. Mary said that she brought many of those youths to the pit of perdition. Of course, she must have prayed for them with tears many, many times. Were all of them saved? I don't know. But the thing that I take away from her life and those youths that she forced into fornication and all manner of uncleanness is that the Lord gave her still the joy of himself in her heart. She remembered the things she did, and she was very humble because of them, but she was not frozen. She was not like a rabbit that sees a snake and is frightened and doesn't move. She wasn't frozen in her grief and in her guilt. And that happens to us. As a pastor, I see it all the time. We do bad things to people. That's true. Maybe because of ignorance sometimes. Maybe because we just were not really nice people at the time. But then we've changed. But we can't change what we did 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 10 minutes ago. And somehow, we have to allow God's mercy to overflow in us so that we have consolation. And of course, the people that you hurt, you should pray for. I guarantee you, St. Mary prayed for all of them. By name, the ones she knew, and in general for all the ones that she didn't know. And of course, she had so many lovers, she wouldn't have remembered all the names. She might have caused a lot of people to lose their soul, and yet she's considered one of the greats among the saints. She's actually considered like a martyr. The reading for her is that of a martyr, of a female martyr, because she martyred herself in her repentance. So I think you should take out of her life some consolation. Have you messed up before? Well, yeah. Do you breathe? If you breathe and if you eat, then I guarantee that you hurt people, because human beings do that stuff. And we shouldn't be flippant about it. We shouldn't say, well, you know, I'm only human. That's what happens. But we also shouldn't be where we feel that God is such an inexorable judge that we have no chance of salvation because of the people we've harmed, even if they've been harmed greatly. We pray for them. We pray for ourselves. And eventually, the thing that amazes me is that we come to the last day, the eighth day, the ever unwaning day, with no sorrow, with no regret. We have regret in this life, but none in the next. That is, if we have struggled with our regret in this life. If we bury our regrets, if we don't do anything about our regrets, if we live heedlessly, then we will only have regret in the next life. But if we struggle with it, pray for those we've harmed, then in the next life there will be no sorrow. There won't be sorrow about the son that's not going to church. There won't be sorrow about the friend that fell away. There won't be sorrow about the former husband or about the mother who you don't think loved you or whoever else. I don't understand how that happens. Because bad stuff that happened to me, I sometimes remember it with sorrow. But in the next life, there will be no sorrow. And even though Mary harmed a lot of people, she had joy. That can happen to us. What about Abba Zosimus? The most meaningful part of that story, really, to be honest with you, for me, I already talked about it a little bit, is that Abba Zosimus had been a monk for many, many years from the time he was weaned, probably 3 years old. And he was 53, I believe, when he went to that monastery. And then when he went off into the desert, he had a secret wish in his heart. He didn't even tell anybody. I'm sure he didn't tell anybody. He didn't even say it aloud. He probably didn't even say it to the Lord in so many words. In his heart, he wanted someone to enlighten him. He knew there was something missing. This is a man who'd lived a holy, pious, chaste life for 53 years. But he had this deep desire for something, for someone to meet him, to teach him something. And he had that desire granted. I have deep desires too. Do you? I hope you have really deep desires, not frivolous ones, like graduating or getting a better job or having a better house or, you know, stuff like that. I'm talking about deep desires in your heart. Do you have them? If you don't, to be honest with you, you need to. Because the human heart needs God. And so much of us, of our heart, is not part of God. Because of our sins, you should have this deep yearning. Maybe you have a deep yearning to meet a spiritual father. Maybe you have a deep yearning to make a pilgrimage. Maybe you have a deep yearning to have something happen in your life that will change you, that will make you less coarse or feel more for people or not be so selfish or not think unclean thoughts so often or whatever. There's something in your heart that you can't even say out loud, really, but it's there. That's what it was like for Zosimus. He had this deep desire in his heart. Every time I read that, as a pastor, I'm in some sort of ecstasy. Because all of us have deep desires, or should. The ones that don't have deep desires that I know, I'm even more sad about. God wants us to have deep desires, and he wants to fulfill our desires. Remember, the scripture says that man has a deep heart. So there should be things in your heart that God knows and that God will fulfill. The last other person that I'd like to speak about is obviously a very important one. We are before her holy icon of the Kurskrud today, the Mother of God. This is a very early story. This happened 4th, 5th, maybe 6th century at the most. And in that time, there were no Presbyterians or Baptists or anybody else. There was the church. And there were people that people knew were not the church, were heretics. The church believed fully everything uniformly. Now there's much confusion. The church still believes everything uniformly, but a lot of people have no idea where the church is. They think a lot of other things are the church, that have strange doctrines that don't venerate the Theotokos, for instance. You can see St. Mary, who was a terrible sinner. By her own count, she was in church three times. She was in church to be baptized. And then she said she never saw people who read from books. So she was never in church again until the cross. And then she went to the monastery and communed. And then she went into the desert, 3 times in the church. That's it. And yet she had a great love for the Mother of God. And when she was in great need, when she felt the weight of her sins, she called out to our Most Pure Lady. And the Mother of God is a mother to us all. And she comforted her. She received her promise. She became her protector. And then she spent 47 years in the wilderness, 17 of them in great privation, in great anguish of soul, having deep desires to go back and do the stuff she used to do. But the Theotokos was with her all of that time, in an intimate way. She should be like that for us too. When you go before the icon of the Mother of God, there's no magic. But the Mother of God wishes to bring your needs to her Son. Those deep needs in your heart. I don't know what you do, but when I go before her icon, I pretty much don't ask for anything. Usually put my forehead on, smell that fragrance of heaven, and just say, Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Or pray to her Son. And in my heart maybe are people that I really love and care about or worry about. But I don't ask her for trivial things. And when you're before the icon, pray with the deep needs of your heart. Don't pray for trivial stuff. Don't pray that, you know, my son listens to me. Don't do that. Don't do that. Pray instead that the Theotokos would watch over your son, or your daughter, or your husband, or your friend, or yourself. Pray with the deep needs of your heart. And the Theotokos wants to reach out to you just like St. Mary. Now the question is, are you going to be like St. Mary? Are you going to have the guts to change? Or are you just going to, every time an icon comes, come and pray before it, have tears, press paper icons against it, or your cross against it, and then go back to living the same way you were living? That doesn't do any good. Come before the icon with tears. Prostrate. Sing the Akathist. Say, Most Holy Theotokos, save us. But also, change. Because St. Mary was very courageous. She made a promise, and she kept it. And she made the promise to the Most Holy Theotokos, and the Most Holy Theotokos kept her promise to protect her. So those are a few of the others in the life of St. Mary of Egypt. May God, through the prayers of His Most Pure Mother, grant you the deep desires of your heart.